come to learn how to deepen your prayer life, home together. And if you've been here a year, get cards, and even sacred water to drink. That's what I was given for my one-year anniversary from someone. And I will be drinking it.
I will be drinking it.
And where you can come and hear music like we just heard. And I even saw a couple of you kind of snaking.
I'm a victim. You're a victor. You're a victor, Warren.
Pat, I got a question for you. Were you ever shy?
No.
God, if one day you just came out of your shell or something. You led us on a revival today. Thank you.
Yeah. Her name is Pat. Is that right? Okay.
And a revival is what we have been doing for the past year. It's been a revival of consciousness, an expansion, a deepening of consciousness on this adventure that we have done together. Way back in the day, about a year ago, the first Sunday I was here, I did not actually have to do the talk, and I just got to kind of roam around and act like I knew where everything was. And I got to go down with the kids, and we've seen our kids, our youth, grow over the past year, and I'm going to do that again today. Yeah. They've grown significantly, so I'm going to get to go high-five those guys here in a minute and spend a little time in the sound booth. But I just thought about on the way here today, all that we've done together and just growing together, moving through challenges together. It hasn't all been rainbows and unicorns the whole week or the whole year, but we have moved through challenges that are happening in the city. We've been able to come together when we needed each other, and I'm just looking forward to the next year at what we are able to accomplish at Unity Academy. And I've been so fortunate to have prolific teachers in my life and Unity ministers and mentors, and certainly a couple of them are here today. Paula Hesselbach is with us, and also I get the privilege to introduce our speaker today. Reverend Geo Downer is the minister at Unity of Windward in Hawaii, and he told me that he's going to be passing out tickets later today. Does anybody want to go to Hawaii? Good, so we've got some takers, I wasn't sure. He's still teaching me. He actually said, James, let me retie your tie today. Because I know you're excited for 1 year. I'm going to show you how to do a whole different knot. And other people were kind of doing this and getting me. I'm just so excited about the 1 year that it's all of our anniversaries. But I do want to introduce Gio as someone who you will hear from today and this week in the SE classes. And he will challenge you. He always challenged me as one of my favorite teachers in Hawaii, and also his ability to share and have an open heart. He never had too many things going on that he couldn't sit down with you and listen. And even today, when I can call and say, hey, remember that one slideshow or that one lesson you gave or that one class, could you send me some information or something on that? He can do it just like that. So. I appreciate you coming all the way from Hawaii today. I told you that you could not speak today if you were coming all the way for the SCE classes. And so we are so honored to have you today, and thank you for being here to share with us.
Thank you.
Give Gio a hand.
Thank you, my friend. Aloha.
Aloha.
You've been training them well. James, it's an incredible honor to be here. I'm truly delighted and honored to be amongst so many radiant lights. And this morning I'm going to ask you to wonder, do you realize the radiant light that you are? Do you realize the amazing, wonderful expression of God that you are? that you have the ability within you to create wondrous mansions in which to live. There's an incredible mansion right here in the spiritual community, and there's a lot of talk already about the manner in which people are creating a new mansion of living. James has talked about that, and I am really excited to be here, to see the amazing potential all around this campus. I wonder if you might recognize the manner in which you can create a mansion within you and a mansion here in this spiritual community as well. The transformation that we have within us is the transformation that occurs in our lives and in our world. So this morning I've had an opportunity to say to you, Aloha, and you've responded in kind. In truth, to my roots, I'd like to say, howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
I knew you'd know how to respond to that one, too. I'd like to say it's good to be home. It's good to return to a place that I knew and know to be my home. You see, I lived in Dallas, Texas from 1983 until 1996. That hasn't necessarily been revealed in a lot of the things that have been talked about in regard to me returning here. One of the things that I said as I drove out of the city, as I saw Dallas, Texas in my rearview mirror, was, I will never come back here again. I'm glad you got the joke. Because, you see, I didn't get the joke. At that time, I really didn't know that the consciousness that I was creating was the state of victimhood that I was really living into, and I was doing such an amazing job at that. Have you ever had that experience in your life where you've created your own victimhood? Aren't we amazingly powerful beings? Isn't it incredible the things that we can do? I'd like to invite all of us into a choice of creating a mansion for each of us and a mansion in which we can all reside in peace, in harmony, in love, and in grace. May we all choose to create a mansion of wonder, of mystery, and of awe. One of the wondrous things about unity as a movement, James has already pointed out this morning. We can look at how there are so many pathways to God, that each and every individual has their own resonance to in many particular teachings. And all of these teachings have a way that can transform our lives within us and all around us. We have the ability and the capacity to transform this entire world. And as long as I or you or we continue to live in a place or a state of victimhood, then that's what we're going to create. But instead, I'd like for us to each encourage one another and invite ourselves into an amazing way that we can have a mansion in all of our life. In the whole world. All of these many pathways to God have numerous teachers by which they've shared this vision and this possibility that's within us. One of the teachers that has a particular resonance for me has a lot of his sayings recorded in a work entitled The Gospel According to John. Perhaps you're familiar with this man. Some of us know him as Jesus. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I believe that what Jesus was speaking to and what he was teaching in this phrase was an awareness of how we can believe in God, but we can believe in our essence, in our true self, in our true Christ nature. And the ability and the capacity to build and furnish mansions in our lives. This mansion that we can create has infinite potential and infinite possibilities in everything that we do and say, in everything that we think about and bring about. Join with me on this journey to create a mansion in your life, in our lives. This mansion that 2,000 years ago, a master teacher invited us into. This pathway to God is not exclusive. I believe it's open to all people. And one of the modern teachers of our modern world is a man by the name of John Shelby Spong. He speaks to this many pathways when he says that true religion is not about possessing the truth. No religion does that. It is rather an invitation into a journey that leads one toward the mystery of God. Idolatry is religion pretending that it has all the answers. May we live in the mystery in this day and the wonder of how we can create riches and an amazing mansion for each of us to live in. May that mystery unfold and awaken in us through the practices that we use in our daily lives. As I shared with you, when I drove out of Dallas, Texas, I felt as though I had had enough. I had been truly beaten up. Maybe you've had that thought before in your life as well. You see, I lived here from 1983 until 1996. And there was something that happened in my life, and for that matter, in the lives of all of you. There's not a person on this planet who's not been affected by something that was significant for me at that time. And that was something known as AIDS, or HIV. Many of my friends, many of my close cohorts, many of the people that I truly loved, I lost. And the threat of this scourge was something that was difficult for me to live with. I felt often in fear. I would imagine that all of us can look back on that time and remember close friends, or for that matter, even acquaintances that we might have lost on whatever level. I remember friends who would also be so afraid of what was happening in our community at large that they just simply couldn't go on with relationships and connections any further. There were numerous other things that happened in my life that brought me into that state of feeling as though I was a victim. And that was the consciousness that I decided to put on. But this morning, I'd like to invite me and invite you to remember and know the wonder that is made from every situation and every circumstance in life. Because you see, as a result of what I lived in and through from 1983 to 1996 was an introduction to something called New Thought. An introduction to something that I believe is the foundation of the teachings of Jesus. It's actually the truth of how this message that he shared over 2,000 years ago was a message that invited all of us into living in a rich and wondrous and prosperous life, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what may show up. You see, what I look back on now is seeing that there was amazing things that were happening that I couldn't awaken my eyes to. There were riches and wonder. There was gold and glitter and diamonds everywhere. And that took form in the shape of relationships with people. You see, as a result of this experience in my life, I opened my heart just a little bit more. As a result of my past experience, I decided that those relationships were worthy of continuing. That I could open up to new relationships and new possibilities. And I could live in the truth of that Christ essence within me. I look back on my time in Dallas, Texas now with all new eyes. You see, I'm standing here today in a place and a state of what I believe to be true forgiveness. Not a forgiveness of where I've allowed something wrong to happen, but instead a forgiveness of where I realize that life is unfolding exactly as it should. Life is unfolding in a way that's lifting me into an evolution and an awareness that the mansion of God is present now. An evolution and an awareness that gives me the chance to see that I'm always at choice. So what would you choose today? Would you choose to be in a state of victimhood? Or would you choose to join with me and with many others in this amazing mansion that's all around us? As I shared already, there's some beautiful grounds here at Unity of Dallas. What might you do in order to contribute your time or your talent or your treasure in order to create a mansion here on this campus? And although that may be significant and it can be something that we see and touch and feel, what I'd instead like to invite you into, more importantly, is how can we create a mansion within us? How can we look at the circumstances and situations in our lives to truly see that we're always at choice? What would you choose today? Would you choose to live in a mansion? Or would you choose to live in fear and in poverty? There's an important spiritual teacher of our modern times who's had quite a bit of influence on my life. His name is Deepak Chopra. He once wrote, "No matter what the situation, remind yourself, I have a choice. Choose to live in splendor. Choose to live in amazement and wonder." I believe that these teachings of Jesus bring us into a greater awareness of how we might awaken to heaven already here. How we might awaken to these glorious furnishings that are all around us, lifting us into a greater consciousness and a greater awareness of life itself. There are some tools that we can use in order to awaken to that greater consciousness. You see, through the time that I was here in Dallas, and for that matter, since I've left here, there have been some experiences in my life where I felt as though people had betrayed me and people had lied to me. And I felt as though I didn't want to ever have anything to do with them again. Maybe you've had an experience like that in your life. Perhaps as a human being, you've occasionally been betrayed or someone has lied to you. There's oftentimes many ways by which we can respond to that situation. I'd like to remind us all that we're always at choice. We always have an infinite amount of ways to respond to every situation in our lives. That choice that we have, I believe, can bring us into a higher state through forgiveness. We can go out and collect all sorts of wonderful furnishings for a mansion to live in through a practice known as forgiveness. Not in a state of it's okay with what they did wrong, but more in a state of awakening to knowing that life is unfolding as it should. That I'm being experiencing, that I'm in the midst of an experience that brings the Christ essence out in me. Might we each turn inward in order to see that power. One of the people responsible for sharing the New Thought message, who was strongly influential in a movement known as Unity, was a man by the name of Emmett Fox. He once wrote, "The technique of forgiveness is simple enough, and not very difficult to manage when you understand how. The only thing that is essential is willingness to forgive." Might we all have at least the willingness to forgive? That might be the beginning by which we can awaken to the truth of how we can live our lives. Many of us in our modern times may feel as though there are circumstances and situations beyond our control. Might we live in a state of forgiveness by recognizing that the point of power is present right here in my heart? May each of us know that the point of power is present in your heart, that you might have that potential and possibility to transform yourself and to transform this world. The co-founder of the Unity Movement, Charles Fillmore, knew exactly what he was speaking about when he knew that power of forgiveness that we have toward others and toward ourselves. He wrote, "Our forgiving all men includes ourselves. You must also forgive yourself." As I shared with you a moment ago, when I drove out of Dallas, Texas for the final time in 1996, as I looked in my rearview mirror and had that statement, "I will never come here again," I realized, not in that moment, but a few years later, that it may not be exactly beneficial for me to continue my life having a resentment against an entire city. Just maybe that might not be entirely useful. That was the central place in which I decided it may be necessary for me to forgive myself. How I saw things, not in a way that was empowering, but in a way that might confirm my suspicion about how not powerful I was. In our culture and in our lives and in our world, we're given messages that we are limited. And our life experience can sometimes give us evidence of that. The Unity Movement is a movement that invites each of us to recognize the power and potential that we have to be unlimited beings. And beyond the evidence of what we may experience in our lives, I'd invite us to look at the mansion that's all around us. May we see the true riches and amazement and glory that's present now. By shifting our consciousness, by bringing into our awareness how we can and do open our hearts, how we can indeed, despite what seems like insurmountable odds, overcome any difficulty. I believe that power is within you. I believe that each one of us has the potential and the livingness of it right now. May we awaken to that truth. May we truly come into an awareness of that power and potential by releasing and letting go of any ill will, any resentment that we may have or hold in our lives. The spiritual community is right now in a place where it can go forward. But not only is the community in that place of potential, so are each of us. May we decide instead to look forward in our lives and no longer in the rearview mirror. May the manner in which we look forward in our lives create a mansion of glory and wonder. There's a way that we might do that. And that manner has been taught to me and has been demonstrated in my life by a practice known as prayer. Now, all of us in this sanctuary, whether we've grown up in a spiritual community or not at all, have been exposed to an idea of prayer as, okay, everybody, be quiet. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Now, we've separated this time out for a time of prayer. What I believe and what I think is a truly transformational process is the manner in which we might live a life of prayer. May we shift into an awareness of the riches that are already present. May that life of prayer be something that we can do, say, think, be, rather than separating a time of divinity away. May it live in us. May it be us. You see, I believe that that's what the master teacher was continually pointing to. Jesus was continually pointing to be the divinity that's within you. Be that expression of the divine power that you have. Be that potential. So that idea of prayer is something that I will be talking about in something called spiritual education and enrichment. Now, many of us have had an experience in our life of where we've been through education. Education is, of course, where we take information and then we hold that information within us, and at the right time, we spew it forth, right? Education is when we have the information and we can take a test and prove that we have the education. But the beautiful thing about SEE is that it's not just spiritual education, it's spiritual education and enrichment. In this next week, you'll have a possibility where you can be enriched in a variety of ways with numerous classes. I'd like to invite me a little deeper into a practice of a life of prayer, but I'd like to invite each of you into a practice of prayer as a way of life. That infinite potential and divine possibility is living in you now. Come and join with me on this journey, on this walk on the beach, where you can see the wondrous mansion that we can live in, the wondrous possibility that's already expressing in you. This enrichment is a place where we might live in the mansion of prayer, in the mansion of our lives. This mansion comes about by holding a consciousness of prayer, but it also comes through in a consciousness of action. As we go about in our lives, oftentimes the approach that we have been taught is that it's important for us to look at what's wrong and then fix it, right? That's what we've all been told, is the manner in which to be successful. Unity has taught me, and taught a number of other people, for that matter, this movement of new thought and the true teachings of Jesus has taught me that when I focus on the wondrous possibility, when I see what's right and then direct my energy and my attention to what's right, that's what comes forth that much more. And as I go about in action, instead of going about in order to fix what's wrong, I can go about and live in what's right. I can go about my life in an action and an activity of knowing that what's right within me, I can create in my life that much more and have it expand. There's another somewhat modern spiritual teacher whose wisdom has been shared for quite a few years. He's been talked about in the news as of late. One of the things that he once wrote was, "I prayed for 20 years, but received no answer until I prayed with my legs." This man was Frederick Douglass. He knew the power and the potential that was within him. And he recognized that he could make a difference by the action and activity of his life. There was another man who knew that despite odds that were seemingly impossible to overcome, that God was with him in all things. Oftentimes, in response to any circumstance in our life, there's a story that we might make up about how this doesn't seem to be working, or how sometimes it seems like there's more separation and division in our world rather than us creating more peace. But indeed, peace begins with me. Peace begins with you. Understanding and love begins with each of us. And I believe that the entire universe, God itself, okay, God herself, okay, God himself too, is moving into a way that we might express a greater connection, more brotherhood, and more life itself. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King spoke to that when he wrote once, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." May we see the justice in our lives. May we recognize that justice is the furnishings in the wondrous mansion in which we live. That justice is the manner in which whatever we send forth comes back to us. What we think about, we bring about. May this be the prayer that we engage in our lives and in our world. Prayer is a way of life. And prayer is a foundation by which we can build and rebuild our lives anew. I'd like to invite you to proclaim an affirmation that I know to be true in my life, and for that matter, I know to be true in all of our lives. Would you affirm and assert and declare this with me out loud together? With each step I take, I make progress on a journey with God. As we take a step, might we recognize that each step creates a mansion in which we can live. Although there may be a voice that tells us to look in the rearview mirror, may we step forward and see the wondrous potential and possibility in our lives. May we know that every experience that has brought us to this here and now moment has provided us with every possibility and everything that we might need. I'll share with you an experience that happened with me just a little while ago. I ran upstairs because I didn't know what I was going to do in order to advance the slides. This was before the service began. I didn't really run, but by the time I got to the top of the stairs, I realized I was in a bit of a frantic state, and I stopped and said, "Take a breath and remember that everything that you need is provided for you." And once I got to the top of the stairs, I said my hellos, and they said, "What do you need? Why are you up here?" And I said, "I don't have the clicker." And they said, "It's right there." To which I realized after running up the stairs and stopping and breathing for a moment and reminding myself that everything that I need is already present, I have evidence in my life and in my world that it's already here. I know that to be true for you too. I know that the mansion that you live in has every thing that you could possibly need already equipped within it. If you need a melon baller, it's there. You just looked in the wrong drawer. If there's indeed anything that we need in our lives, if we look in the presence and power of our heart, we know that it's already here. So join with me on this journey as we go, knowing that we're taking this journey with God, that indeed all that we need is already present, that we can awaken to the truth of God's good in all things, because you are that good. Charles Fillmore knew about that good and that presence when he once wrote, "Prayer is the exercise of faith in the presence and power of the unseen God." May we place our faith in an awareness that any melon baller or clicker that we might think that we need is already present. May we place our faith in knowing that everything that we need is here. It may be in a relationship with someone who can provide whatever it is we need. But the beauty is that relationship and connection that we have within our hearts is possible in every one of us, no matter what may be showing up. We are equipped well. We are equipped with infinite potential. The master teacher Jesus is said to have once said in the Gospel according to Matthew, "You are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down. The river flooded. A tornado hit. But nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock." May we be fixed to the rock of the truth that's within us. May we build our mansion exactly in that place of God, the infinite potential that's residing within you. May we build that place of wonder and mystery and awe on the rock of God. May we know the truth of the power that we hold within us and the power and potential that you are. Join with me once more as we affirm. Hold on. I'd rather that we did it together. Shall we claim this affirmation out loud together? With each step I take, I make progress on a journey with God. So I invite you to journey with me into a time of meditation. I invite you to take a deep breath, to relax and allow yourself to be perfectly comfortable exactly where you are. Close your eyes if you're comfortable in doing so.